to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Jonathan Jossel, the chief executive officer of the Plaza Hotel Casino in downtown Las Vegas, on the 50th anniversary of the legendary property and its role in the Las Vegas market. 20 years ago, IGT transformed the industry by introducing cashless gaming with Tito. Now IGT is revolutionizing cashless yet again. Learn more about IGT's resort wallet at IGT.com/cashless. And the dollar bill blew away. But the sun is shining down on me and it's here to stay. That's why I'm telling you, I just want to celebrate. Yeah, yeah. Another day of living. Yeah. The Plaza Hotel Casino in downtown Las Vegas is 50 years old this year. The property was built on the site of the former Las Vegas train station, the Union Station, and it was known as Union Plaza when it first opened. It experienced a series of owners, including the legendary Jackie Gaughan, who once owned most of downtown at that time. Jonathan Jossel arrived in 2007 with the most recent owners, the Tamaris Group. He's been CEO for the last 7 years and has guided the property through a major expansion, a pandemic, and the rebound of the downtown market. He spoke with me from Oscar Steakhouse in the famous Dome of the Plaza in March. Welcome to the GGB Podcast. We're here today with Jonathan Jossel at the Plaza in downtown Las Vegas, and we're in one of my favorite restaurants, Oscar's Restaurant. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Oscar Steakhouse. Yeah. Coming live from Oscar's.
Yeah, absolutely. I see his office right behind the bar here, which is nice.
You know, he started using it. He hadn't used it for the last couple of years because he had his office at the LVCBA, and then there was the pandemic. And the last 2 weeks he's been coming in, taking meetings. It's been great to see him here. It's wonderful. You come to the bar, you have a drink, and you can see him working behind there. We're coming up with ways that people will be able to eventually take meetings with him back there that come to the restaurant beforehand, have a chance to meet with Oscar first.
That's great. Well, you know, it's such a great restaurant. The food is wonderful. And
Thank you.
And the atmosphere, of course, with the dome here at the foot of Fremont Street is really, really excellent. So
thank you very much.
It's really nice to be here. So let's start with the 50th anniversary. You know, this property has been through a lot of iterations, and here we are. It made it 250. What's it like celebrating that kind of anniversary?
You know, it's something we've been looking forward to for a while now, and obviously it's a little anticlimactic at this
point, because
we haven't been able to really acknowledge it and celebrate it and plan for it because there was just no clarity as to when things might get better.
Sure.
So we haven't done all the things we want to do. We are rolling out some great promotions, and I'm sure you'll share all the links to those promotions afterwards, but there's some very good hotel deals, very good restaurant deals, and casino deals. And then we're gonna have an event in July, which is the actual 50th anniversary, July 2nd. 1971 was the opening date.
Right.
I say it was the largest hotel casino in the world, although I was corrected by Mr. Wynn the other day that it was not the largest hotel in the world, and it was larger at the time. But I believe the marquee did say largest casino in the world. So maybe it was just based on square footage. I'm not sure.
Sure.
But we're very proud of 50 years. You know, to get to 50 in this town is not something that many people can say.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to rack my brain on how many places are 50.
Right.
You might know, actually, off the top of your head. I don't know.
I don't know yet. But
we should find out how many places made it to 50. Yeah. But I think the milestone is a big accomplishment for not just to make it there, but also to now be on an upswing that we're seeing, right?
Absolutely.
So now the Plaza is not just surviving, but it's thriving.
Sure.
And we're doing much better. Obviously, the last 12 months have been difficult.
Right.
But we're very optimistic now. We see a lot of good signs.
Right. I mean, the place looks better than it has in many, many years. So, kudos for that.
Thank you.
So, on our March issue, Oliver Lovett did a story on the 50th anniversary. And,
right.
And he was talking about, what it means to downtown, what it means for Las Vegas. And he spoke of the Plaza with some great affection. Do you have a lot of people that show up here and have those kind of memories of the Plaza?
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. I should say everybody, but a lot of people. We have a lot of customers, especially in the casino. You know, we just had a guy that came in for March Madness. He hadn't been here in almost a decade.
Yeah.
And he just said, wow, it's just great to see the place looking good.
The
same team members that were here, but all of them reinvigorated, feeling good about the future. And we have a lot of people that have a lot of great memories here, people that got married here, people that had their first dates here. There's just so much history in this building. And you know, when people thought that the right move was to implode it and rebuild it, we took a different approach with it, and we thought we could make it great again just based on continual reinvestment, remodeling, and we're seeing that pay off now. But there's a lot of good history here, a lot of fun memories. You know, so for some people, I just did a podcast, my podcast that I
sure,
do,
right.
With a gentleman by the name of Larry Ruvo, and he was saying how his first memory in all of Las Vegas was getting off the train tracks right sure. here at One Main Street.
Right. Yeah.
So for many people, it has a lot of history and special connotations. And Oliver captured that very nicely. Keep sure. in mind, you know, the previous owners were iconic people in Las Vegas,
yes,
in
no
terms
question.
Of Jackie Gorne and
right.
what they built here. Was a family culture, and people loved that.
Do you ever get a chance? Did you ever get a chance to talk with Jackie about when he owned the Plaza? I know he was still
alive.
I never
did.
When you started,
no, I met him a couple of times, mm-hmm. but he was a little older. But I built a very nice relationship with his son,
uh-huh.
Michael Gorn, yeah. who I admire greatly. I think he's one of the smartest, best operators in Las Vegas,
sure.
and someone I'm lucky to be able to lean on for advice. And I think he's a wonderful guy. So. I get some insights from him,
mm-hmm.
but he's long gone from downtown.
Yes. He's doing very well on the south.
He sure is,
for sure.
Yeah.
So what did the Plaza look like when you got here in 2010? Was it you know, in any kind of shape?
So I got here in 2007.
Okay, even before that. Then.
And keeping in mind, we owned at that time the Gold Spike, the Westin,
right.
the Las Vegas Club, the Nevada Club, which... nobody would recognize today.
Right.
they were all in disrepair. They were all in disrepair.
Sure.
In different levels of disrepair, but it was tough to imagine that they would be what they are today, mm-hmm. for sure. The Plaza specifically in 07 was bad, and
yeah.
then we shut it down in 2009-10 right. for a remodel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when it reopened, it was nice looking, but it didn't have a soul, it didn't have an identity, it didn't have... hands-on feeling, and I think
right.
that left a lot of people with. It taught me a good lesson in terms of management and
mm-hmm.
and how important those relationships and
right.
hands-on customer service is, as opposed to just making a nice shiny building.
Sure.
So in 2011, when we reopened from the pandemic, when we reopened from the remodel, pandemic's on my mind.
Right,
apparently.
Of course, right.
When we reopened from the remodel in 2011, the place looked great, but
mm-hmm.
we hadn't redone the convention floor yet. We
right.
hadn't redone the bingo room yet. We hadn't redone the pool deck yet. So there was a lot of things that still needed to be done. And even today, we continue to do more upgrades. We
mm-hmm.
just did 150 rooms
right.
last year before the pandemic. We just did all the casino bathrooms. We redid the casino carpet just 2 years ago. So we're continuing to upgrade every area, and we have some really exciting things on the horizon
mm-hmm.
for the next 9
well,
to 12 months.
I think what's also been very interesting is that you built on the corporate culture that was already here, and you've built it into like a new modern type of atmosphere. I mean, people, like you say, people come in and recognize their servers or their dealers
mm-hmm.
or somebody that they've known for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody says, well, what are the differentiators in a casino when everybody has the same slot machines, everybody has the same, you know, some people have different odds, I guess, on
sure.
table games. But, you know, for the most part, those relationships really drive the difference. And if you have a favorite security officer, cocktail waitress, dealer, you're going to go back to that place.
Yeah.
You want those connections. You want those experiences.
Sure.
And that's something that I think the Plaza has done a great job of over the years in maintaining.
Yeah, no question about that. So, well, let's talk about the pandemic. I mean, it was a very difficult time, you know, probably one of the darkest times in the history of this hotel.
Literally.
how did you really navigate that?
You know, there's just no playbook for that.
Right.
There's no playbook for getting a call that says you're shutting down
yeah.
On 4 hours of notice
yeah.
and everybody out. I mean, I don't think that anybody could have imagined that. It was extremely challenging. I remember now, I saw a video of myself on March 17, 2020,
mm-hmm.
giving a speech to our executive team that was still here that night. We were
right.
sitting here in Oscars eating, and I said, well, we're closing down tomorrow, so, you know, thanks all for your hard work, but it'll just be 30 days and we'll all be back.
Right.
Which is what we were told, right?
Right, sure,
it was 30
right.
days to,
you know,
to slow the
two
spread.
2 weeks to flatten the curve, right?
Right. and now, of course, we're still dealing with the ramifications of it. And it was just difficult because it was, from the beginning, there's just been so much uncertainty, a lack of clarity. And I don't necessarily blame politicians because for them it's new as well, right?
Sure,
they don't know what they're
yeah.
doing, and a lot of them haven't been through this. So I just think for everyone it's very difficult. Fortunately for us, we were able to keep most of our team members.
Mm-hmm.
And the day we could reopen on June the 4th, we did.
Yeah.
And since then, we've been doing it really safely. We've been following all the guidelines. A lot of the good feedback now is you know, you feel that there's social distancing in place, you feel mm-hmm. that the place is clean.
Right.
We did all of that in the early days with the temperature checks at the entrances. So we've learned a lot. We're very lucky that we have a great team. And then we saw, unfortunately, in December, January, some really dark days. That's when it got probably the worst in the whole pandemic. Mm-hmm. But just like that, we're out of that. The vaccines come along, the mood's changed. And now, you know, last weekend for March Madness, this town was alive and hopping.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
people are excited to be back. People are just invigorated that they can get out of their house. You know, the steakhouses are doing great.
Sure.
The restaurants are busy. Casinos are busy. And it's not crazy like it used to be in terms of occupancy, but people are just so happy to be back and spending money again. It's wonderful.
So business is ramping up pretty steadily then?
Oh, yeah. It's ramping up for sure. I would say it's hard to judge because March Madness is always a great time of year anyway.
Right. Sure.
So we just came out of that, which was a wonderful week. But just for the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've noticed a gradual mm-hmm. increase. And it looks like this could be one of the better summers and fall that Las Vegas has ever had. But I think we all learned a lot of lessons and if you made it through this last 12 months and you survived, it's a great accomplishment, and now you can come back and hopefully see the upswing.
Sure. Well, summer's always a slow time for Vegas anyway, but now with the kind of pent-up demand, I think you're right. I think it will be a little more busy than it normally would
yeah,
be.
As long as they get the airports open and international travel,
sure,
I think
right.
getting conventions is a critical thing. So yeah, if you can get the conventions back, and we have a lot of conventions that had to be postponed and delayed, and all of those will be moved into hopefully summer and fall, mm-hmm. assuming again that the airports are open and that the capacity restrictions are eased, which it seems like everything's heading in the right way for that.
Sure, right. So how difficult is it to run a casino where you have every other slot machine turned off, you know, you have to limit the number of people who sit at blackjack tables, that kind of thing?
That's probably not the hardest part. I'd say, keep in mind, our team members, they got sent home on 24 hours notice when the governor shut down.
Right.
They lost the four busiest days of the year mm-hmm. last year where they normally would have made the most money. They came back in this, what felt like an unsafe time to be going to work and dealing with this. So they get a great amount of credit for, you know, I don't say, for pushing through this period.
Right.
I'd say the biggest issue they have and that I've heard about on the floor is not so much the social distancing, but the masks. Nobody wants to follow those rules. Well, not nobody wants to, but they just don't when they're smoking, they're drinking.
Right.
And it's really hard for our team members to enforce that. I'd
sure.
say that's more difficult than the three people at a table and the every second slot machine. You know, the dynamics are weird because I think we're seeing people just want to enjoy themselves and get out. So they don't care if there's only three people at a table.
Right.
All the tables are full. They don't care if it's every second slot machine. They'll find the slot machine they want.
Right.
That part's been okay. I think the biggest challenge has been enforcing the mask mandate
sure. Well, now that everybody is getting vaccinated, or many people are anyway, do you think that that's going to be relaxed at any time soon?
Well, it already has been.
Not
the masks, but
the
capacity restrictions
sure,
were
right.
eased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went down to Cashman Field yesterday for the vaccine, my mm-hmm. second vaccine.
And okay.
It wasn't that busy, which was, I guess, a good thing and a bad thing. Hopefully most people have already done it here. But I heard that the convention center is very busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as we're seeing, as people get the vaccine, they're just more comfortable coming out. And we're seeing the older demographic coming back.
Sure.
During the pandemic, our numbers skewed way younger.
Right.
But now we're seeing that older demographic starting to come back, and that's a great sign.
Yeah, no question about that. So how about the meeting space? You do have a great, very comfortable, very, very intimate kind of meeting space there. And I know it's going great guns before the pandemic. Is that starting to come back at all?
Not really yet, no. That's difficult because the capacity restrictions, I think, are still at 250. And any meaningful group is going to be more than that.
Right.
We have got the biggest convention space downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We have almost 30,000 square feet.
Right.
Which is the biggest that I'm aware of downtown.
Sure.
So we put a lot of emphasis on that. Plus we have the showroom. Plus we have the core arena.
Right.
So we have a lot of venues where we can host bigger groups. But we just haven't been able to occupy them with the full capacity yet.
Sure,
so
right.
like when we did Super Bowl up there, we had five rooms of 50 people,
right,
which is very unusual.
Yeah,
but it just didn't feel the same and didn't have the same energy. So
sure.
we're not there yet, but we have seen a lot of the bigger groups that we had pushed off till May, June, and
sure.
hopefully by then we can do more than 250 people at that time.
So how about entertainment? Your showroom's great. Are you bringing anything back in there?
Comedy's coming back.
Okay.
We have a great comedy partnership that we've been doing now for, well, the year leading into the pandemic was starting to really build a good following. Right. And we had some great comedians on the mm-hmm. books. They're coming back. And then we'll be looking at other... We're looking at two new venues here at the Plaza. One will be a live music venue.
Okay.
You know, one of the issues we've had here is Oscars is our premier dining, but when it closes at 11 p.m., we don't have a lounge or a bar or somewhere that people can go. We have the casino bars. That's it.
Right.
So we're going to build two new bars in the next 9 months that will be spectacular and give us some great amenity for other entertainment later.
Resort Wallet from IGT provides a digital wallet for all your players' gaming and retail needs. From card or cardless-based cashless transactions, your players will love the convenience of getting rid of cash and all the hassles associated with using cash. And with IGT Pay, IGT's exclusive payment gateway, your players can fund their cashless wagering accounts from multiple external sources simultaneously. The benefits of cashless gaming are amazing. No more waiting in lines at ATMs to get cash, no more waiting in lines to redeem your tickets, and no more waiting for service when your ticket printer jams. Learn more about IGT's Resort Wallet at igt.com/cashless. And now back to our podcast. I think the last thing that you opened before the pandemic was the Core Arena. Is that still operating? And obviously it didn't do very well during the pandemic, but
we haven't occupied it. We haven't used it in over a year now. Yeah. Unfortunately, it has over 2,000 seats. So to activate it, you need to have crowds, and we just don't have the ability to activate it.
Sure,
for 25-35% occupancy, which would be 400-500 people. There's nothing that we have for that. So the one that I'm aware of is the Demolition Derby's coming back in October. Okay. We have our El Dorado Las Vegas Days Rodeo. Mm-hmm. Again, that's all later in the year until we get more clarity on when we can use it. We just have no specific use for it, unfortunately.
But
it's still there, and we plan to reuse it when we can. Right now, that area is important for us because it's kind of... right where the bridge is going with the city.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that people don't realize about the Plaza is it sits at one main street. It's an iconic address.
Right.
But it sits on 17 acres. It's one of the biggest pieces in all of the city. Mm-hmm. And we have now what we always believed would happen is starting to happen now in that to the east of us, you have Circa that was just built.
Right.
To the west of us, you have 800 apartments that just went up.
Mm-hmm.
You have the new bridge that we're working on with the city that will connect the 800 apartments and the Frank Gehry Brain Institute and the Smith Center with the pedestrian bridge into the Plaza. And then you have the Greyhound bus station leaving.
Right.
And all these things happening right around Main Street make this, in my opinion, the most promising and uplifting area in the city.
And eventually you're going to be connected with the boring project, right? The
tunnel. How do you know that? I thought that was a secret.
I've got my sources.
Okay. Yes. Well, if anyone didn't know that, it's apparently not a secret. Yes, we're going to have a boring station here at the Plaza.
So that's going to be exciting because you can get to the airport in, 15 minutes or something,
I think,
right?
Less they're saying. Yeah. I mean, we'll see how that actually operates. Right. But what I love is we've replaced bus travel with underground Tesla travel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sign of the times, and it's a great addition. And I hope they're successful because I think it's a critical thing for downtown to have that connectivity to the airport, to the strip, to the convention center, if we really want to become a destination for large groups.
Yeah, no question about that. So you've also done some pretty innovative operational things. You opened up the bingo parlor, which is the only bingo parlor downtown, correct?
Yeah. I can't take credit for that. It was here before me.
Right.
I've just put an added emphasis on it. We do more events. Okay. We do large events. We have built a team there. But bingo was in downtown at the Plaza before me. And a lot of places haven't figured out how to make it work for us. It's a huge, huge part of our business.
Right. And you've got a lot of promotional aspects to that as well.
Yes, we do. And we have our biggest thing is Super Bingo. And for us, that's our premier events that we do 6 to 8 times a year. And it allows us to really outperform the market.
Mm-hmm. And then your pool deck, I think the last time we were here, we were talking about the pickleball tournaments. You know?
Yeah, we're doing pickleball tournaments. Yeah. The pool deck is great. It's been a great amenity for us. We did, you know, I think when we built it, we weren't sure exactly how it was going to fit into the market. For us now, we've established that it's just a great amenity for the hotel.
Right.
It was going to be more for events and other things, but I think that's better served on the ground floor and easier access, and that's more of a premier thing, except for the big events like July 4th and
sure, right.
when we do our fireworks, which is something that we love doing.
Right.
But other than that, it's just it's a great amenity for us, and then the pickleball courts are something that differentiates us, and does we have a tournament going on right now, in fact.
Right. Great. So the bus station adjacent to the plaza just recently closed down. You know, that was always a kind of a sketchy area there, and you kind of avoided it. But do you have plans for that building, or are you going to actually occupy that in any way?
We are. So above the building is the parking station.
Right.
But the bus terminal was about 20,000 square feet, and then mm-hmm. you have about an acre of outdoor space.
Okay.
So it's a huge space to undertake. We are planning on a few different things there right now mm-hmm. that we're working on. Nothing is set in stone. We're exploring all options for it. And, you know, we're not in a rush to do it, because getting Greyhound to move out of downtown right. is just a critical thing.
Sure, right.
In that first perception when you come downtown, when you saw the people sitting out front or whatever it may
right.
be, it just didn't leave you with a good feeling. Now
sure.
you come to downtown and you want that first impression to be, you know, good parking,
right.
well lit, feel safe.
Sure.
And so it was critical for them leaving. I hate to say it, but it was almost like addition by subtraction.
Right.
And now they're gone, we can take our time and really focus on what comes next then.
Okay, great. And you mentioned your new neighbor across the street, Circa.
Yeah.
You know, that opened a few months ago, and you know, I've been in there a couple of times, and it seems to be doing fairly well, and certainly
yeah.
the pool area has a nice view of your property.
I think our property looks great from there.
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
It. I love it. Yeah, it's a great view.
So how has that impacted the plaza?
I think it's too early to say.
Yeah.
I think overall it's just good for downtown. I think
right.
it's going to bring a lot more people here in the
sure.
future. It's probably too early to say, because we've been in a pandemic
right.
and then we've come out of that, and now we've had a really, really busy 2 months. So, you know, we'll see. I think once we get more of a stable footing, once they can occupy their venues in a bigger way, fill their hotel rooms, and I think it's going to be a real plus for downtown. Long term, obviously.
Sure.
Right now,
sure.
it's a little early to say.
So, are you working with Derek Stevens at all in terms of events or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, we talk often.
Yeah.
Nothing specific in terms of events, but we will, I'm sure, in the future. Like, for example, New Year's Eve, we did the only fireworks show in Las Vegas,
right.
and we coordinated with them because they were doing their televised show over there.
Right.
So we coordinated that together,
mm-hmm.
and from their property, our fireworks look spectacular.
Yeah,
so,
right.
yeah, there's a lot we can do together, and I'm sure we will. Obviously, you know, this has just been a whirlwind.
Sure.
6 months for all of us in terms of their opening, plus the pandemic, and now coming out of it. So I think once we get a bit more stabilized and everybody can breathe, and we'll definitely be doing more together.
Sure.
He's a wonderful guy, though.
Right. No question. So how about there's a bunch of other properties downtown that have really, really started to spruce up. Certainly the downtown Grand with a brand new tower there. You know, I know Boyd's got some plans for their properties down here. Are you like a centerpiece, you know, for all those things that are happening there as well?
Are we a centerpiece?
Well, are you working with these other companies to really, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we have a good relationship with all of them. We
mm-hmm.
don't specifically work together, but I think we all believe in the betterment of downtown. As
right.
they do more things to attract more people downtown, it's just good for everybody. So I encourage all of that, those upgrades you just mentioned. We all work together in terms of realizing that if downtown does better, we all do better. We know
right.
that our guests all visit different properties during their stay. So as downtown's successful in bringing in new people, but it's not just the casinos you mentioned, it's East Fremont,
right.
it's the Arts District, it's the Symphony
sure.
Park area.
Right.
As downtown improves, all of the casinos on Fremont Street Experience area will do better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we love all the development, we love what's going on, and I'd like to think that our upgrades encourage all of them to continue to upgrade so that we all remain more competitive,
right.
but in a good way, because we can actually all work together and support each other. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Sure, absolutely. What's your relationship with the Fremont Street Experience? I know you're not a member, but you know, are you supportive of the things they're doing over there?
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't been members for almost 10 years,
right.
But we're very supportive of what they do, and yeah, it's great. I think it's the lifeline for a lot of the casinos on Fremont Street to bring that traffic down here. And
sure.
obviously, we have to. We're not directly on the street, but we have to concern ourselves with filling our rooms. But obviously, having them bringing people downtown is a huge piece of it.
Sure. So when you look at the revenue numbers, it looks like downtown is kind of undergoing a revival here. Is that your opinion of what's going on here?
So, when you look at the revenue numbers before the pandemic, downtown was the fastest growing submarket in the state. Mm-hmm. And I think that, there's an expression that gaming is the effect, it's not the cause.
Right.
The cause is these investments you're talking about, mm-hmm. the change in the mood down here, the events that are happening down here, the Fremont Street experience, all the casinos upgrading. Mm-hmm. That's the cause. And then obviously the effect is gaming numbers go up. I think what you're seeing now is similar in that I think downtown is a better value. People want to be down here.
Right.
We're more open in many ways than what's happening on the Strip in terms of restaurant capacities, not capacities, but having venues open.
Sure.
And I think people are just gravitating downtown, and that might be a trend. We've seen in the last 8 weeks numbers comparable to prior to the pandemic in terms of gaming. So I think you will see that in the coming weeks.
Right. And you mentioned the younger demographic that you've seen since the people started to come back. That's got to help downtown because, they always kind of skewed to a younger audience with the entertainment they have down there, the music and things like that. Is that something that is spilling over into your property?
It is, but it's definitely not our core clientele. Right. But I think the key to a successful property is having a broad range and diverse group of people that come here. And during the day you can appeal to the bingo crowd, an older demographic, and during the night you can ramp it up and be appealing to the younger demographic. So I think that's an important part of what we do, and we've done a good job with that, and it's going to only get better with our new venues that we're going to do.
Okay, great. So I'm assuming you get some great support from your parent company, the owners of the hotel.
Yeah.
Is
that a question?
Pretty much, yeah.
Or a statement. They're wonderful. Yeah. They're the reason that we get to do what we do.
Sure.
We're remodeling every elevator in this building. The new bars I mentioned that we're building. Everything we do here to continue to improve the property is because of our parent company, Tamara's, and the chairman, Poyu Zabdadovich, who's probably the biggest believer in downtown Las Vegas, maybe after Oscar Goodman.
Okay.
He was down here in 2004 and said this. He had a vision for what this area could be, and I give great credit to him for that.
Right. And any company that does capital reinvestment at this time, I think is to be honored.
Commended.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So what's your vision for the plaza and downtown for the next 5 years?
The vision is to get back to where we were before the pandemic, get back on the path of more events happening downtown, more conventions happening downtown, and continued reinvestment into the rooms, the restaurants, to give people that when they come down here an experience that then can lead to repeat business. There's no point doing events if people come down here, they don't like what they see.
Right.
You got to give them something that they like so that next time this becomes their place to stay. And that's what was happening before, and that's what will start happening again, especially because there is all these new projects happening down here. And I think we're a big part of that. And as our clientele experiences the new elevators here, the new rooms, the new restaurants, new bars, they'll only say this is the place to be.
Sure.
Come back down here.
No question. Well, Jonathan, congratulations on what you've done here over the years, and it just keeps getting better and better. So we're a big fan of yours and the property and the entire downtown area. So let's hope it continues to improve. And certainly once the pandemic is over, I think it'll explode.
Thank you very much. I agree with you. I hope you're right as well, but I think you are.
Yeah, I just want to celebrate another day of living. Yeah, I just want to celebrate another day of
life. Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by IGT. Your players will experience the convenience of digital transactions throughout your resort property with IGT's resort wallet. Learn more at igt.com/cashless. To learn more about downtown Las Vegas and how the properties are aiding in the recovery, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.
Celebrate another day. I just want to celebrate.